Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it mental illness or the paranormal? That's the question we try and answer in this story.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. And yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. And if you like the show, become a supporter. Get ad-free episodes. Get the full archive of episodes. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. And all the new episodes ad-free, everything ad-free. At ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories, on Apple Podcasts. You can even try it for 3 days free. So go do check that out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Carol Hughes is with us. And it's always tricky when we're talking about ghost stories and mental illness, because the two can very easily sound like the other.
Well, and that's so true, because, you know, a schizophrenic might be seeing people, but maybe a schizophrenic is actually having a paranormal experience. I mean, that could be happening.
It's an interesting thing to think about.
And also the same with people with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You might assume they're saying they're seeing someone, and then you're like, well, of course they're not seeing anybody. Maybe they really are.
Until sometimes they come back with information they shouldn't know. It's like, well, this is interesting.
And then it's like, obviously that was paranormal.
Yeah, a little different. Let's go to this one. It says, I decided to write down some things my older sister, Melissa, not her real name, told me about that happened to her and our mom. It all took place in the San Francisco Bay Area. Some paranormal activity happened in a duplex house in Elmira, where I grew up. Strangely enough, nothing happened while I was living there, so I didn't get to experience any of this firsthand. I moved out in 1992, and our brother moved out in 1995, leaving just Melissa and our mom living there. Adjacent to the living room was my old bedroom, which also served the dual purpose as a storage room where the types of things family normally stores were kept on shelves and stacked in boxes on the floor. On a couple of different occasions, Melissa and her mom would be sitting watching TV in the living room, and suddenly they'd both be startled by a crashing, tumbling sound inside the storage room, as though a bunch of stuff had just fallen over and was breaking and shattering. They'd go into the room to check it out, expecting to see a mess, but nothing would be out of place. On one occasion, that same crashing sound was coming from the kitchen, and again, nothing was out of place. One morning, our mom was in the bathroom getting ready for her day. From the vantage point of looking into the bathroom mirror, the reflection gave her a view of the hallway outside the open bathroom door. As she was fixing her hair in the mirror, she saw someone walk past the bathroom doorway in the hall. She was the only one home at that time. When she later relayed this incident to me, she said that the person looked like me. She remembered saying to herself, "What's Dave doing here?" By that time, I was living clear on the other side of the San Francisco Bay. It certainly wasn't me, but a male with the same build and general appearance. There were nights when the entity haunting the duplex would crawl into bed with Melissa, and on alternate nights, it would crawl into bed with our mom. They both told me that their bedding would rustle like someone was slipping under the covers, followed by a sensation of someone breathing on their necks. Melissa and our mom moved out of the Elmira duplex in 2001 and into a two-bedroom, double-wide trailer within a trailer park in San Laredo. It's interesting to note that the Elmira duplex is still vacant to this day after almost 12 years. The landlord has been unable to keep a tenant in it for very long due to paranormal activity. This information was provided to me by the neighbor across the street from the duplex, who's been a family friend for decades. Once Melissa and her mom moved into the trailer, it wasn't long before lots of paranormal stuff started happening there, too. Our mom spent a lot of time babysitting her grandson, my brother's son. There were some toys that he played with while he was being babysat. Those toys were kept in the corner of the living room, and they always remained at our mom's house even after my brother picked up his son in the evening so that the toys would be there the next time my brother brought his son over. Melissa said that in the middle of the night, she would be awoken by hearing some of the toys turning on by themselves. Sometimes it was the talking Elmo doll uttering one of its programmed phrases, or it would be one of the choo-choo train engines making different train noises. One evening when Melissa was sitting in the living room with the cat on her lap watching TV, she felt a cold breeze come straight out of the wood paneling of the wall next to her chair and watch past her. On Melissa's lap, the cat's pupils dilated because it was able to sense this invisible thing, and the kitty's head quickly turned, tracking the entity as it drifted across the living room towards the corner where the toys were kept, and right then, the Elmo doll started talking. In fact, it became almost a routine for the cat to see something invisible emerging from that same spot on the wall, shooting across the living room, but the toys wouldn't always turn on afterwards. It may be worth mentioning that directly on the other side of that wall was Melissa's bedroom closet, and that while she was lying in bed, she would sometimes hear shuffling noises inside that closet, even though the cat was also lying on the bed, so that the shuffling couldn't have been the cat. Melissa's bedroom had its own adjoining bathroom. When she was in the shower, the toilet would sometimes flush by itself. Also, I remember her telling me that she would straighten the towel hanging on the bathroom's towel rack, and every time she came back into the bathroom, the corner of the towel was flipped up. No matter how many times she flipped the towel's corner back down and carefully re-straightened the towel, it would be flipped up the next time she came back into the bathroom. Her mom was changing her grandson's diaper one day in her bedroom, and while the grandson was lying there looking up at the ceiling, he smiled, saying, "Hi, Grandma. What are you doing up there?" Apparently, he saw someone floating just below the ceiling that bore resemblance to our mom, namely an older woman with white hair looking down at him, and mistook it for his grandma. One night, Melissa was lying in bed right after having turned off the bathroom light, and then directly in her ear, an old woman's voice called her name sharply, "Melissa." Melissa recalled a moment when she was looking out the window of the kitchen while doing dishes, and she saw a really pale old man in a red plaid shirt standing just outside in the driveway. She didn't have time to wonder who it was because by then, he had disappeared into thin air. In 2005, her mom got cancer, and one morning, she died in her bed in that trailer. So, that day, her body was taken to a funeral parlor for embalming. That night, as Melissa was lying in bed, she clearly heard our mom's voice whisper in her ear, "Melissa, I'm still here." That trailer park in San Laredo is almost entirely populated with elderly people, so I imagine that a good portion of them die there in their trailers. It'll be interesting to find out how many trailers are haunted. Looking back, I believe that the activity originally started in the Almeida duplex because Melissa had a fondness for the Ouija board and also for experimenting with automatic writing. It's my understanding that anytime you invite or give permission for an entity to come into your space, you're asking for trouble. Once her mom died and Melissa was alone and lonely, she ended up having conversations with three entities via automatic writing. But eventually she began to be able to see and hear them and have conversations with them by simply taking or talking back and forth without using any writing. Things went seriously downhill from there because these entities started telling her what to do and what not to do. She started acting irrationally and impulsively. She went AWOL from her job, so they fired her. She then squandered all of her savings and couldn't pay her rent. So she got evicted from her rental apartment and all her belongings were auctioned off, family heirlooms too. She's now homeless and penniless. I have no idea where she is or if she's even still alive. The last thing I heard was from other relatives in the Bay Area whom she paid a visit to, asking them if she could crash at their place, but everyone told her that she wasn't acting like the real Melissa anymore and that she should go to the homeless shelter. My brother and I are both in no position to be able to help her either. Sorry for such an ending, but that's exactly how it all turned out. From a medical standpoint, one might say that Melissa has schizophrenia, but who can say that this isn't an example of how dangerous it can be for someone with a weak mind to blindly and recklessly try to make contact with the spirit world? I'm going to go with schizophrenia. I believe that she had other experiences. You can have ghostly experiences and still have a mental illness, but there's something going on there, whether it's schizophrenia or some other mental disorder that's causing her to act in such destructive ways and not being able to maintain good choices or any sort of a healthy life. She needs mental health help is what she needs.
Yes. And I really do think it all started off paranormal.
Yeah.
Her mother, I believe all those experiences happened.
Yeah.
But you know, when you lose a parent, and especially it sounds like Melissa was an adult at the time living with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
that was really traumatic on her when her mother died. And then I get the whole trying to contact her, because when someone dies, the one person you want to talk to is the one person who's not there. So if you have a Ouija board or you're doing that writing thing, I can't remember what it was called.
Automatic writing.
Yes, thank you. If you have access to that, or able to do that, and you could talk to your mother, I could see why you could get obsessed with that.
Oh, sure.
See how everything could just start shifting in your brain.
Yeah, I mean, it can, I think if you get obsessed with that, it can, I think, stir up underlying conditions that mm-hmm. are already there or may be developing. And, you know, to some, it may, she may be thinking, oh, this is all paranormal, when it's not. It's a mental disorder, and she needs to get help.
And I think that's so hard for the family too, because it's not a problem you can just throw money at. Even if you had all the money in the world, it's like, let's help Melissa. You could get her in a place.
Well, yeah.
Is she going to accept the help? Is she going to leave? Is she going to stay? Is it going to work for her? Are you going to have to do that 5 times? Because, you know, it's not that easy. I know people who, you know, they have children with drug issues and, mm-hmm. you know, they've been in rehab 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
It's just constantly putting money towards that, and it doesn't always fix the problem.
And there's a lack of ability just to get the help that's needed for something. Right. This is why we have the homeless problems that we have. Many of the people out there are dealing with some sort of mental health condition. This is a mental health crisis. This is not a housing crisis. It is a mental health crisis. And if those people could get the mental health help that they need, then a lot more of that could be fixed. But we have no resources that are doing any of that to any extent that actually helps people to get back on their feet. I mean, I'm sure there's a program here and a program there, but it's nowhere near where it would need to be to try and get people off the streets where they need to be. The answer is not just let's give free homes or housing. That will be destroyed as well unless the mental health issues are addressed first. Otherwise, everything else is just a fucking Band-Aid.
Agreed. And I do think that Melissa definitely had paranormal experiences.
Yep.
She could still be having paranormal experiences.
So, yeah.
But now with schizophrenia, everything's going to be okay. It's your mental illness.
Yeah. She needs
and
help.
It's a sad situation. And I feel really, really bad for the family.
It is.
To live with that. Because that's hard. They lost their mom and a sister. Yeah. Really.
And I hope that if she's still around, that she can find the help that she needs. Thanks for sharing that. If you have a ghost story you want to share with us, you can do it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our episodes that we have for you here every day, and get it ad-free, especially through Apple Podcasts. Check it out for 3 days free right there. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.